2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we take a look at the answers to some questions that were posed to me by a critic of the church, actually a former church member who has left the church. I've talked in some depth about some of these issues before, but I wanted to go over them in a little bit of detail. His comment was that it is impossible for the Book of Mormon narrative to have happened in Central America. It had to, according to this critic of the church, this former Latter-day Saint who now lives in Southern California, it couldn't have happened in Central America. Why? Because a number of locations were identified by Joseph Smith and others as being in the northeastern United States, in New York, Ohio, and similar places. Now, here I'm referring to some different ideas about the Zelf episode and some others. I've already talked about those in some details before. But one of the biggest points that he made was he said, you know, I've heard it from some of the Central American crowd, meaning me and the people at Interpreter Foundation and Book of Mormon Central and others, all of whom have their ideas originally from the initial research done by Professor John Sorensen in his wonderful book on the subject. So, and by the way, that book is called An Ancient American Setting for the Book of Mormon. It's absolutely wonderful. But so this critic said the Book of Mormon happened in North America, couldn't have been in South America, and the River Sidon had to be the Mississippi River because it came by Nauvoo. Now, there's a problem with that from the text of the Book of Mormon itself. The Book of Mormon text in Alma talks about the River Sidon flowing north. If it flowed north, that disqualifies the Missouri, the Mississippi, and all the other rivers in that area. Let's take a look at these two verses. They're easy to miss if you're not focusing in on this subject. Take a look at Alma chapter 16, verse 6. Here's what it says, quote, "Behold, the Lamanites." Now, I guess a little background's in order. Here we have revelation being given to the Nephites so that they will know where and how the Lamanites will attack so that they can respond. Here's what it says. Alma 16, verse 6, "Behold, the Lamanites will cross the River Sidon in the south wilderness." So, if this were North America, it would have to be somewhere in the south, maybe, I don't know, Mississippi, Alabama, some other location in the South where the Mississippi River flows. Now, here's the rest of Alma 16:6. In the South wilderness, way up beyond the borders of the land of Sidon, and behold, there shall ye meet them on the east side of the river Sidon. So where would you find a river that's way up in the South? You can't do that in North America. At least you can't with the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers. They are not up in the South. They are down in the South. They start at a higher elevation and flow down. So they would be way up in the North, not way up in the South. All right, here's another example of that, lest you think I'm somehow resting the scriptures. Alma chapter 22, verse 27 says, and this is talking about the land of Nephi, and that it, quote, was divided from the land of Zarahemla by a narrow strip of wilderness which ran from the sea east even to the sea west through the borders of Manti by the head of River Sidon, running from the east to the west. So the head of the River Sidon ran from east to west, and it was up. Now, where would you find the Mississippi River or the Missouri River? I've heard some say that the head of the Sidon, that's the headwaters where the Missouri and the Mississippi merge together. Well, that still is not up in the South. That is down in the South. There's only one location. Well, there are actually two possible locations in Central America, but one that fits this well, and that is the Grijalva River. It is up in the South, in the mountains. The Libertad Mountains in the Santa Rosa area, actually not too far from El Mirador, where you find the cement structures that also back up the Book of Mormon narratives. And so in the headwaters, they flow east to west there, and then they flow north as the river gets bigger. That fits the requirements of the Book of Mormon text. Now, there's another problem with the North American location, and that is you have in the times right before the Savior comes, you have in 4th Nephi these great destructions that look like earthquakes. There haven't been any earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes in the area, but in the Northeast, you just don't see that. You don't have earthquakes and volcanoes. You have earthquakes and volcanoes along with hurricanes in Mesoamerica in great abundance. And so that's also a place that works very, very well. Now, let's turn our attention to another focus that this critic made. He said, you like to say that the Book of Mormon narrative is true, but there were no horses here before Columbus. And we have the Book of Mormon saying that there were horses here. It doesn't talk about riders, but in 1 Nephi chapter 18, verse 25, in Enosh chapter 1, verse 21, and in Alma chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, we have this description, a short description, peripheral mention of the use of horses and the existence of horses. So how is that possible if there were no horses? Well, I submit that there were horses before Columbus, and not just during the Ice Age era, which would have been about 10,000 years BC. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's the common area of demarcation here. We're almost to the break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about horses. I'm going to go into detail because we don't often do that on the show. I mentioned a couple of superficial examples today. I'm going to give you enough so that it doesn't seem like there's any possibility of error here or some kind of scientific anomaly. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Our discussion today centers around the Book of Mormon and responding to critics on horses and other matters. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this program or any other program, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. Sometimes you'll have to give me several weeks because occasionally I get backed up if I get a lot of inquiries, but I will get to your question. And if somehow I don't, resend your question. I'm happy to respond. Today, in this program, talking about response to the critics of the church. There's one in particular who I shall not name by name today, but he and I had kind of a debate some time ago about evidences for the Book of Mormon, and he claimed that there was no evidence of the Book of Mormon in Central America, and there was also none in North America. And one of the biggest areas that he pointed to was the mention of horses in the Book of Mormon. If you're just joining us, horses are mentioned briefly in 1 Nephi chapter 18, verse 25, in Enos chapter 1, verse 21, and in Alma, chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. So were there horses before Columbus? The common idea, which you will get from science teachers in junior high and high school and from professors in college and in graduate school, is no, there were not. The last ones died out somewhere around 10,000 BC or shortly after that, which is the time of the latest Ice Age. And it is true that there were a huge abundance of horses before then and fewer after that, but fewer does not mean none. Here are some sources for horses during Book of Mormon time periods. There was a newspaper article. This dates back about 15 years ago, July 17th, 2005, the San Diego Union Tribune. There was a staff writer by the name of Philip K. Ireland, and he wrote a story in the San Diego Union Tribune newspaper called, quote, "Centuries Old Bones of Horses Unearthed in Carlsbad," close quote. Now, here are some excerpts of what his article said. Quote, "Archaeologists working against the clock in Carlsbad have unearthed another nearly intact skeleton of a horse that may have lived and died 50 years before the Spanish began their conquest of California. The finds are significant because the remains are older than the recorded conquests by the Spanish, who reintroduced horses to the New World I'll stop right there. That's an admission that there are horses, and we have radiocarbon dating to prove it, that show that these horses were around during Book of Mormon periods before the Spanish came. Quote, radiocarbon dating of 340 years plus or minus puts the death of the horse sometime between 1625 and 1705. Therefore, horses died at least 50 years before San Diego Mission de Alcala. The first of the California missions was founded in 1769. The other horse and the burro that were also found were buried at the same level, suggesting that they were buried about the same time. The bones of the horses and the donkey showed no signs of having been shod, an indicator that the horses were not brought by the Spanish, who fitted their horses with iron shoes, said Larry Tift, a researcher with Gallegos, close quote. Now, someone's saying, well, wait a minute, 1625, 1705, that's well after the Spanish came. Maybe they reintroduced horses earlier than that when Columbus showed up. Well, here's the problem with that idea. Christopher Columbus never came to North America. What happened with Christopher Columbus was that he landed in what we would now call Mesoamerica, Central America, and the islands in the Caribbean, which also, incidentally, is another problem for those who have a North American setting for the Book of Mormon, because it talks about Columbus finding the location where the Nephites and Lamanites are located. But Columbus never found North America. He found Central America and the Caribbean islands. And that has significance for this horse issue, because if horses escaped from Columbus' group or some of the subsequent ones, they would have been and were on the islands there in the Caribbean or in Mesoamerica. They were not in North America. There's no evidence that they were in North America until this time in 1625 or 1705. And if they were found a little bit earlier, I'm not sure how that would help the opposition. I guess the claim would be that somehow those were horses reintroduced by Columbus, but you'd have to find how they got there. Here are some other examples, and these are huge examples of horses found and confirmed by radiocarbon dating to Book of Mormon time periods. There were horse bones that were found in Little Box Elder Cave in Converse County, Wyoming. They date to 700 years before the present. That would put them about 300 AD. This is confirmed by carbon 14 dating by the state of Wyoming. We have two horses that were found in Carbon County, Montana. They date to about 1,700 years before the present. That's about 745 BC. That's slightly before Book of Mormon times, but way after the close of the Ice Age. There was a horse that was found in Chiltrap, Carbon County, Montana, that dates to 620 years before the present. That would place the find at about 400 AD, right towards the end of the Book of Mormon time period. There was a horse fossil that was found in Wolf Spider Cave in Colorado that dates to about 700 years before the present. And so it goes. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of these. There's just no question that there were horses before the time that we normally associate them with coming by Columbus. Radiocarbon dating absolutely proves that now. And the other major comment that has now been blown out of the water is there weren't the population bases in Central America for millions of men in armies, as described in Mormon 6 and Ether chapter 15. How do we know that? Well, we have new technology, LIDAR technology, that shows that that was the most populous place on the planet. That is quite an incredible thing. Up to 25 million people lived on the Yucatan Peninsula between 600 BC and 400 AD. That is a remarkable thing. Join me again next year. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.